This is ProBlogger.
Hi there and welcome to episode 189 of the ProBlogger podcast. My name's Darren Rouse and I'm the blogger behind ProBlogger.com, a blog, podcast, event, job board, and a series of ebooks all designed to help you to grow a profitable blog. You can learn more about ProBlogger over at ProBlogger.com. Now, in today's lesson, I've got some very, very practical and actionable information for you on how to shoot great video for your blog using your smartphone. As I've mentioned many times over the last 100 or so episodes, video is becoming one of the hottest types of content online at the moment. And whilst we covered in episode 187, the written word isn't going away anywhere soon, video content really does help you to grow your reach, to stand out from the crowd, to make a connection with your audience, and to create content that is shareable. We've all heard about this opportunity of video, but if you're anything like me, you probably have either some questions or some challenges or barriers that stop you from getting into video. Things like, I don't have the right gear, or I don't feel comfortable in front of a camera, or I don't know the first thing about the technicalities of shooting and editing good video. They're the questions I hear a lot. They're the questions that I have, the barriers that I have myself to creating video. Now, recently I was over in America, San Diego, at Social Media Marketing World, and I bumped into a fellow Australian on the first night, a guy by the name of Justin Brown. Justin was one of the speakers at the event. He was doing a workshop at that event on creating great video using the camera that most of us already own, the one in our smartphone. Now, Justin teaches how to do that, and he has some great teaching on creating online video at his site, primalvideo.com. And I heard so many great things about that particular workshop that as soon as I got home, I decided to get him on the podcast because I think he's got some really good information for the ProBlogger audience. I literally just finished our interview, and I'm so excited by what we covered over about 35 minutes. Over the next 35 or so minutes, you are going to hear Justin remove all of those barriers that I just mentioned for getting into video. He's going to tell you exactly what gear you need. And the number one thing is your smartphone, but we talk also about things like microphones, lights, apps, attachable lenses, and just how essential those things are. And he really does suggest some very affordable options in each of those categories if you do have a little bit to invest. But he also talks about how the smartphone itself is creating a good enough video so that you don't need a lot of that stuff as well. He also shares some tips about getting comfortable in front of a camera. We talk about some different types of videos that you could create that don't necessarily mean you need to get in front of that camera. He shares some tips on how to set up your shot. We talk about framing, lighting, sound. He gives tips on editing videos, including which apps and software might be best to use. And we finish up talking about how to export that video so that it's ready to be used online. This is probably the most practical interview that I've ever done. You're probably going to want to have something to take some notes on, or you want to head over to the show notes where I do list all of the pieces of gear that he mentions, as well as the apps and software as well. Now, at the end of this interview, I issue you with a challenge. So be warned, I'm going to ask you to create a video, and I really would love it if you would share it on our Facebook group. If you go to ProBlogger.com/group, you will find the ProBlogger Facebook group. And in that group, it's a safe place where you can share the videos you create as a result of this particular interview. You may not share it anywhere else on the web, but the challenge today is to create a video, because by creating that video, it might be your first, you are going to learn so much. And you may not share it, but you're going to learn a lot that will help you to create a better second video and a better third one. So take the challenge today. If you want to head over to the show notes to be able to follow through some of the tools and apps that Justin mentions, head over to ProBlogger.com/podcast/189, where there's also a full transcript. Okay, let's get into today's interview.
Creating great content. Finding an audience. Building engagement. Monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
So Justin and I spoke in my recent episode 187 about how different types of content has almost like superpowers, different strengths, I guess. You know, written content's really great for being found in search engines. Visual content's great for because it gets shared a lot and grabs people's attention. Audio's good for building intimacy with your audience. I'd be interested to hear what you think video's superpower or powers is.
Okay, I kind of think it's really a hybrid of all of them. I mean, these days you can get some really good optimized SEO for your videos. I mean, YouTube is the second biggest search engine, followed by Google. And like our goal, I mean, what we do with our YouTube channel is we tailor or really optimize our videos for Google ranking. So a lot of search terms these days, when you search for a problem or search on Google, you'll actually be served up a video first before you actually get to the web pages themselves. So I think video is really a hybrid because you get a different level of connection that you than just audio or just text with your audience as well. So I think it's a bit of a hybrid of both.
So maybe if you could just give our audience a little bit of your backstory. How did you first get into video and why do you major on it today?
I've pretty much worked in video production my entire professional career for as long, far back as I can remember. I've been able to work on some really crazy projects with some really amazing people. I followed a big wave surfer, Mark Visser, an Australian guy, around the world for a few years following his big wave antics. He's the guy that surfed Jaws in Maui at 2 a.m. and was throwing jet skis out of planes and all sorts of stuff. I've worked with guys that have 22-minute breath holds and yeah, some really crazy people, but also some really inspirational people like UN Women. And I've had opportunities to work on some really top level documentaries as well in the health and wellness space. So from that, I've started a company with my brother Mike called Primal Video, and we really just help people get better results with their videos faster. So essentially removing all the barriers that we have and that we create to creating video content. So that's what we're up to these days.
Well, that's a great introduction to what I really want to cover in today's episode, because every time I talk to bloggers about using video in their content creation, I get these recurring objections that people have or barriers that they have into getting into video. And I even asked about it in our Facebook group just a few minutes ago, and already I can see 7 or 8 people with questions, but they're all to do with these common objections I get. So do you get a lot of those sort of objections? What are the main ones that you get?
I guess the fear of being on camera is a big one, and actually sort of stepping out. And I know personally that's something that, I mean, from someone who's always been behind camera as a cameraman, producer, or director, to step in front of the camera, it's a freaky thing. Like it's not normal for most people. Some people love it and some people have that gift, but I can guarantee you that most of us don't have that. And it's something that I don't necessarily struggle with, but it's still not something I'm really comfortable with. So it's definitely something that everyone should practice, and I think that everyone should be doing, but it's normal to have these fears. But so it's the fear of being on camera, but also the fear of the technology or the technology using it as an excuse. Like next week I'll have a different camera, so I'll hold off creating the content until then. Or my audio is going to be bad because it's noisy outside, or all these little things that we can talk ourselves out of creating the content. I guess the key is actually starting and doing it, and you can always grow from there, but it's also the hardest part.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
The first objection I wanted to talk about was pretty much related to that. You know, I don't have a good enough camera. It's too expensive. I can't afford to buy it. And the reason I wanted to get you on is your session at Social Media Marketing World this year was about creating video with smartphones, which most of us have in our pockets. So I guess the first question is, do you really think a smartphone is good enough if you want to create video for your business?
100%. I mean, yeah, as you said, I had that session at Social Media Marketing World, which was purely based on that. We have these awesome cameras now in our pockets, in our hands, and the cameras on them are actually really phenomenal. It's getting to the point where it's really hard to tell. As long as you set them up right and get your lighting right and all these sorts of, you know, simple things, really, once you hear them, then you can actually get some really good results with them. And it's always a case of using the gear that you've got instead of delaying until future gear, you know, so you've got that new camera or whatever, and it's not needed. You use your phone, but use simple things like a plug-in microphone to get better results. And yeah, we can dive into that if you'd like.
Yeah, for sure. So what other gear would you recommend people investing in? Maybe if you can put it in sort of a priority, what would you get first to take it to the next level?
Yeah, first off, 100% would be a microphone, like an aftermarket microphone. If you don't have one, then I'm still, you know, a big advocate for start now. Justin said I need to have a microphone, so I'm not going to create a video. You use your phone to still create videos, but if you're going to spend money, buy a microphone, because audio is, if anything, more important than the video itself. If you've got bad video and good audio, you can replace the video and use slides or images or animations, anything, and you can still use your video. If your audio is bad, then your whole video is going to look and sound bad. So audio would be by far the number one.
Do you have a first mic recommendation, like for an actual microphone that people should look at?
Yeah, so there's two that I would recommend. There's three that I would recommend. There's a $20 US microphone called the Boya BYM1. So it's BOYA is the brand. It's $20 and it's a wired lapel or lavalier microphone. So it's got a huge cable. It's like a 6 meter cable on it. So you're then connected to your phone, but the audio that you'll get through that is phenomenal. If you don't want to be tied or tethered to your phone or to your camera, that microphone will actually work on both your phones and your cameras, both DSLRs and smartphones. So that's pretty cool. Then you can get a little shotgun microphone. So something like the Rode Video Micro. I think this sells in Australia for around the $79 mark. And it's a little shotgun microphone. So you can, you know, move away from your phone a little bit, but the closer you are to it, the better the sound. So all these things aren't going to be, you know, breaking the bank account, but they'll make a huge difference to the quality of your videos.
Great. So what would you be looking at next? We've got microphone, lights.
A tripod. I would go a tripod, yep, or some sort of stabilizer over lights. Lights would probably be number three. But getting the phone out of your hands or getting it stable is the next important step, I would say, to creating a professional looking video. If you look at if you had a production team come out to do your videos for you, they're not going to handhold your video, the cameras. They're going to be stable. So whether it's a selfie stick, even if you're going to be walking around, it's going to be so much more stable in a selfie stick and out of your hand. If you're going to be sitting down at a desk, then get a desktop tripod, like a small tripod. Or if you're going to be standing up, then get a tripod that's going to go up to your eye level of where you're going to be standing. So it sounds so simple, but and really it essentially is simple. It's just to get it out of your hands, to get, you know, mimic what a production team would do if they showed up at your place to film.
That's right. And there's so many great tools now, like there's, you know, custom made things for live streamers and all kinds of little tools that you can use.
But the little desktop tripods are awesome, and you can use them again for Facebook Live or YouTube Live or Periscope from your mobile. So that's something that I think that everyone should grab, and you can pick them up for sort of $10-$15 as well.
Yeah. Okay. So lights you mentioned as another option. Yep.
Yeah, so with your lighting, there is a heap of options. If you look on places like Amazon, you could waste the good part of half a day looking at all the different lighting options. The ones that I like at the moment that are relatively new ones, there's a brand called Yongnuo, and I'll have to send you how to spell for that.
That'd be great.
Sell for $40 US, and it's essentially a little LED light panel, and you can power them from your 240 volt or from your wall socket as well. And these are awesome little LED light panels. But I guess with your lighting, you want to make sure that you're lighting up yourself first as the priority. I mean, you are the focus. You're the one that's delivering the content. You want your audience to be able to see you well and connect with you. Lighting up your background and the rest of your scene or your studio should be secondary. If you've only got one light, then make sure it's lighting yourself up. Another really good portable light is by a company, Aperture. This is a smaller one, and it's the ALM9. So another one, I think it's $45 US. So, you know, not talking lots of money, but these are great little portable lights that even if you're going to be out and walking around and want to set up at a park bench to create some content or go live, these are fantastic little lights for that.
That's great. And I just actually got asked in the Facebook group by Ron to ask about lighting, but also the value of some of those mounted lenses, so the wide-angle lenses that you can clip onto the front of your phone. Do you put much sway into that type of thing?
I think it's a kind of thing, if you've got it or you're happy to spend the money to get one, again, it's not a lot of money, then do it. They're always handy. I'll always carry one with me. They're fantastic if you're going to have more than one person in your video or in your live stream, because you'll get so much more room. But also it helps your phone camera mimic more what a professional camera would. It's going to be more aesthetically pleasing to the eye. It's going to be more matching what we're used to seeing on TV and these sorts of things. So I think you can pick them up for around the $20 price point. Teco is a brand that that we use. It's a bigger lens, and it will fit on the front and the rear camera for most smartphones. So that's why it's a good safe bet. But definitely, I think it's an awesome tool to have with you. I wouldn't rank it as high as a microphone or as a tripod or as lighting. But yeah, the more of these things you can tick off, the better the end result.
Sure. So in terms of shooting that video, do you generally shoot in the native camera app, or do you recommend looking at some of the other apps that are in app stores?
It will really come down to the individual. Definitely you can get great results using the inbuilt camera apps on either iPhone or Android. And these days, it's so easy to manually lock down the exposure and the focus so that you're not going to have those change while you're filming. So it's just a matter of pressing and holding on the screen itself, and it will lock down the focus point and the exposure, so the brightness, so that it's not going to change as you move in the shot or if the cloud comes over or those sorts of things. So that's really important if you're going to be using the stock camera app. But if you want to take things up a notch and really get professional with it and really get the most out of your phone cameras, then there's a great app called Filmic Pro. I think it sells for around $14 Australian, $11 US. And that will give you full manual control. So essentially all the settings that you would find on a DSLR or video camera, you will be able to mimic those on your smartphone. So things like your white balance, so your color changing throughout the shot, a lot more settings around your exposure and your shutter speeds. And we've got a few videos on our YouTube channel, like as walkthroughs, taking you through how to set those up. I personally think they're definitely worth using, but don't use that as a barrier. Like, I've installed this app and I'm not sure how to use it. I'm not going to make a video today. I was going to keep coming back to it. Just create the video as the priority, and then grow as you're comfortable or as you can.
I think that's great advice, and that's what we advise people on Digital Photography School with some of the apps on iPhones as well. Start on your camera, learn the basics there, and then once you start seeing the limitations of the camera and start noticing those limitations, then start looking for some of those other apps, which really can take it up a notch, but it's kind of 1% of stuff for the average eye.
Yes. Yeah. And most people, I mean, if you did a video on each, I would pretty much guarantee you that your audience isn't going to know, oh, he used Filmic Pro for this one, or this one was the inbuilt camera app. I guess it's more peace of mind for yourself, knowing that nothing is going to change, and removing the chance that something's going to go wrong, because the last thing you ever want to have to do is to re-record content that you've already recorded. It's not only a pain, but it's a mental drain as well. You're already past it. You're done with it. So yeah, try to eliminate that wherever possible.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
Objection number two that I get is pretty much what you mentioned before. I'm not confident enough to present on video. Do you have any tips for people who don't have that experience of appearing on video or the confidence?
Yeah. Well, once again, that's something that I struggled with big time. And even like moving from behind the camera to in front of it, and it's something that I'm still not 100% comfortable with. But the key, really, it's going to be obvious, is to practice and to start now. And even if you're creating videos and not releasing them, just show your friends and family and get some feedback and get used to really seeing yourself on camera and seeing yourself in the end video product, but more so the practice of talking to a little camera lens, which is, it's a weird thing. It's a daunting thing if you haven't done it before. And when you're first starting out, The other things you can do are to like put a picture behind your camera or your webcam or your phone, whatever you're using, of either a friend, a family member, or your ideal audience or client, and just talk to them behind the camera. So you can actually start. It's amazing. Again, it sounds simple, sounds silly, but it makes a huge difference when you're just starting out, because you've still then got some sort of human connection. So a lot of people that just run out and lock themselves in a room and start recording, and there's no connection. You're not talking to anyone. So it's a strange thing. So getting used to it and practicing, even if you're driving along, press record on your phone and don't crash, focus on driving, but just to get used to saying, what am I doing today? What am I doing right now? Where am I going? These sorts of things, just to get you used to talking on points, and off cuffs. So you will then, it's amazing how fast you'll grow from there.
I find the same even with public speaking. The more I practice, the more I run through it, the more confident I am with what I'm saying. But also visualizing that person that I'll be speaking to is really important. And we actually advise our readers, when they're writing content, to have a picture of someone in front of them as well. So I think that would really work very well. I guess the other thing that comes to mind is that there's other types of video that you could be creating where you don't have to stand in front of the camera. Do you have any advice on, other types of videos that people could be experimenting with as their first video?
Yeah, so I guess it will come down to the type of videos that you want to be creating. If you're going to be doing sort of how-to videos, then the obvious one is to do like a screen recording and talk through something, or even do a screen recording of a PowerPoint presentation and that was, a slideshow. So that way you don't have to be on camera. You're just talking through your presentation that way. So that's a really simple way to get started with video. You can also use animations or graphics or animated text on screen so that you don't have to be in front. But what I would really suggest is that you practice and learn to do it, because even just from the personal brand building and the deeper level of connection, when people see your face, they can then associate that with the content and with the information you're sharing. It's a deeper level of connection. So even if you're going to do a screen recording, I would say turn your webcam on and put yourself in the bottom corner of the screen recording. Even if you don't use it as the end video, you can remove it in the editing software. I'll start now and get used to it, because I think this is where everything is going. And the quicker you can learn, the quicker you can get used to it, then the more you'll be able to leverage the power of video.
So one of the questions that I've been asked in the Facebook group by Susan is around whether to use a script or whether to use bullet points and talk a little bit more off the cuff. There may not be an answer for this question. It might come down to personality, but what do you recommend people do?
I think it does come down to personality, but I think it also comes down more so to the type of videos you're creating. If you're creating a sales video or a video for the front page of your website where you need to be very specific on what you're saying, and especially around a sales video and the offering, and you don't want to miss any points, then I would say use a script if you can, use a teleprompter, or read through the paragraph first and then present it back to the camera. So you can chunk it down. You don't need to worry about doing your videos in one take. Focus paragraph by paragraph and just focus on getting that paragraph right or how you like it, and then move on to the next one. So you can chunk it down, and that's a much easier way to create the content. As for dot points, then that's another way to do it as well. For all of our videos, I started out scripting them all, but I think you actually get a more personality through if you're just able to use dot points, because then they become more of a conversation instead of a teaching or a lesson. And that's, again, where you'll get more personality through and a deeper connection with your audience. But again, it's practice, try both and see which one works for you. But the easiest way for most people is to write it out and present, a paragraph at a time, or if you have to, do a sentence at a time, because next time you might be able to move to a paragraph and then progress through to dot points.
That's great advice. And I found the same with this podcast. I used to have a script and it was pretty much read, and these days it's dot points. It comes across in a much more conversational tone as well.
And I think to reading from a script, if you're like, it's the same as using a teleprompter. There is an art and a skill to using a teleprompter so that people don't know that you're reading. If they can tell that you're reading, then you've kind of, there's that big level of disconnect. It's not authentic. So it can have a big negative effect if you're not able to to present without looking like you're reading. So that's where, you know, the end goal should be dot points, in my opinion. But again, don't let that freak you out. Start now with paragraphs. And I guess probably all the sales videos and things that we do and products and all those sorts of things, I definitely have them scripted out. And sometimes I will use a teleprompter if I have to be so specific on the words that I'm using. So.
Oh, yeah. Great advice. Do you have any, are there any teleprompter tips? So skipping back to gear, I guess if someone does want an affordable option, what would you recommend there?
So the one that I use and the one that I recommend is by a company called Promptit. I'm pretty sure they're actually an Australian company. It sells for around the $300 mark, but it lets you put your iPad or iPhone and use that as the display to send the text up. So it's really easy to use and it just sits in front of your camera. As for tips to make it look like you're not reading, again, if you can use dot points so that you're just, you know, you can see what you have to talk about next. But I guess the biggest way that it, to remove that obvious, you know, part where you can tell people are reading is with your eyes. If you look outside of where the camera lens is, then it's so obvious that you're reading because you're not then making the eye contact with the camera lens. So you're not making that eye contact with your viewers. So you can shrink the font size down so that all the text is in line with the camera lens. And that way, even if you're reading from left to right, as long as the text doesn't go outside the camera lens, then you're not breaking that eye contact with the viewer. So they'll be a lot less likely for them to see that you're reading.
How to build and monetize your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Objection number three that I get is around the shooting of the video. I don't, you know, things like I don't know anything about framing shots or lighting. We've already talked about some of the gear, but do you have any tips on shooting the video? You know, how do you light the subject with those lights you recommended? Any tips on the actual shooting process?
Yeah, so I guess the first one is an obvious one, and this applies for whether you're using a smartphone or really any camera, is to clean your camera lens first. And it sounds so obvious, but no one does it, especially with our phones. And that's up against your face when you have makeup or dirt or grime or fingerprints on it. So it's about getting the fundamentals right first. And you'll be able to create like a checklist, clean the lens, use your microphone. Then you adjust your exposure and your focus. You really want to lock those down. You don't want to have your cameras on automatic so that, you know, if something changes that you know, your camera is going to make that adjustment. You want to know that it's all set and it's all sorted and it's going to look good and sound good so you can focus on delivering the content. In regards to the framing of the shot, you want to make sure that your entire head is in the shot. A lot of the times you'll see on videos, especially with people doing it themselves, they don't check the shot first. So they might then move around in front of the camera and they've chopped off part of their head. So simple things like that. So do a test is what I would say. So get everything set up the way till you think it's right or perfect. But before you start, do a 15 to 20 second video, go back and watch it. Plug in headphones if you can so you can really listen to the audio and make sure that that is how you want it before you actually start shooting. Specifically in regards to framing, if you have to, put yourself in the middle of the frame. But essentially, if you can have, or ideally, if you had yourself or your talent slightly off to one side, left or right, but not way off to the side, just a little bit off center, you'll get a much more aesthetically pleasing shot. Like if you think of a documentary that you might have seen, no one is sitting bang smack in the middle of your shot. They're always off to the side a little bit. But maintaining eye contact with the camera lens is probably the most important thing you can do because you're talking, you're sharing your knowledge, your story, your message. You want to be sharing with a person. If you're having a conversation with someone face to face, you're going to be making eye contact with them. So you need to do that with your videos as well.
That's great advice. Luis in the Facebook group just asked, do you suggest using the front-facing camera or the back-facing camera? And if you're using the one where you can't see yourself, do you have any tips on, you know, do you set up in front of a mirror so you can see how you're framed or anything along those lines?
Great question. That's a big one. And I think the obvious answer is the easiest way to do it is use the front-facing camera because you can monitor everything and see what's going on. But for better quality, and the front-facing camera is more than enough for most people. I mean, we have a video on our YouTube channel It was filmed with a front-facing camera on an iPhone 5, and people are still blown away with the quality on it. And that was just with the built-in camera app, without Filmic Pro or any of these things. So the front-facing cameras on any of the newer phones as well, like newer than the iPhone 5, is going to be really good. Wherever possible, I would say to use the rear-facing camera, though, because it is much higher quality. Obviously, as you've said, the logistics of doing that and framing and making sure that you actually are recording while you can't see what's going on makes that a little bit difficult. A mirror is one way, but what you can actually do, there's a piece of software called Reflector 2. I think it sells for just under $15. And you can install that on your Mac or PC. And whether you're using an iPhone or an Android device, you can screen share over Wi-Fi your phone screen to your computer so that you can sit in front of your phone, use your phone for the recording, but next to the phone on a computer, you can see exactly what's going on with your phone. So that is an awesome app for monitoring what's going on. So that would be the ideal setup if you don't have anyone there to monitor all of that for you.
That sounds like a very useful piece of software, because I've shot numerous videos and then got to the end and realized that I had chopped off the top half of my head, which isn't a bad thing when you're bald, but it can work.
Yeah. It happens all the time, and that's really, you know, back to our core message is we really want to stop people. We want to remove these barriers and these bad experiences that people have creating content. So Reflector 2 is an awesome piece of software that will hopefully eliminate you from having to reshoot because you've chopped off your head or something.
That's great. We will link to all of these tools and apps and softwares in today's show notes. Objection number four, and literally as I was as I'm saying this, I can see Vanessa's just asked in the Facebook group about editing. She said, I technically get how to do it, but I don't feel like I've got a sense of style. She said, what is the video equivalent of avoiding Comic Sans? Which I thought was a great way of asking it. But do you have any tips on editing? You know, what software should we be using? Should we be doing it in camera, in phone, or putting it into our computer? Any tips on getting a nice edit?
Okay. So, well, there's a few questions in there. That's all good.
Talk apps.
Where I would start with is if you're filming on your phone and you don't want to be editing on your system, like you're always going to have more power and more control if you're editing on a computer, but it's not always practical. So you definitely can edit, and you definitely can edit well using your phones or your iPads. On iOS, I would recommend iMovie. If you want to take things up a notch, then you can get Pinnacle is a great app. And Pinnacle will really replicate what you can do on a system, on a computer. So those are two great places to start with editing on iOS. On Android, check out PowerDirector. That's a fantastic app that gives you pretty much the same functionality as you would, again, on your desktop. The limitations on those pieces of software when you really want to get creative with effects and those sorts of things, which aren't really necessary for most videos. They'll allow you to you know, trim the start off, move your clips around, do color correction, those sorts of things, all the important stuff, and save it out in a high quality format for YouTube or for Vimeo or wherever your videos are going. So you definitely can edit on your device, and those are the apps I would recommend to check out. Obviously, moving onto a computer, your process is longer because you've got to get the files off your phone or off your device or off your camera. But the key focus should be around with any editing. First and foremost, edit your content down or chunk it down into the content itself. So many people would jump in and get to the fun stuff, the color correction, the audio and the music, and do all of that first. But there may actually be something wrong with your content, or you might have missed something, or, you know, it actually delays the entire editing process if you don't get your content down first, because by adding all these color effects and things, you're actually putting more load on your computer or on your phone to actually edit the video down. So it's another obvious one, but get your content down first and then worry about the music and then worry about the audio and the color correction. But probably the most important thing with any editing and any video is that your editing actually starts in your filming. If you've planned out your video and you have a set structure that's already defined, or that you're working through when you're filming, then your editing will become much faster. But also, if you only move on from one paragraph to the next paragraph, or from one dot point to the next dot point, once you're happy with it, so that your last take is always the best one. Then when you're editing your video, you can edit backwards. So instead of starting left to right as you normally would, if you start at the end, you're always going to hit the best take first. So your editing actually becomes much, much faster if you edit backwards, so right to left, because you're always going to hit the best take first. So just and be aware when you're filming that you're going to be editing. So the least amount of takes or the least amount of stuffing around that you have will make your editing process faster as well.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
So the last objection that I hear a lot is around what to do with the video once you've got it. And a common question, again, being asked in the Facebook group is how do I export my video in a way that doesn't leave me with a massive file that is too hard to do anything with, or that's so low a quality that it's not really viewable. Do you have any tips on what settings and export sort of settings to set?
Yeah, so I guess the ideal scenario is that if your end goal is to upload your video to somewhere, Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo, you should be uploading the highest quality video that you can. Now, that's easier to say if you've got a really good internet connection, which probably most people don't. So that's where you will want to compress or reduce the size of your videos. So it really is a chicken and the egg kind of thing. There is no set perfect solution because it comes down to this: how long your video goes for, that you can then apply a different level of quality to reduce the file size of the video. So where I would suggest everyone starts is with the video presets that are built in, or the exporting presets that are built into all editing software. So whether you're desktop or whether you're on your phone, they'll all have a preset for YouTube. Now, whether you're going to export to YouTube or to Facebook or to Vimeo, use the YouTube ones because they're the ones that are normally the best optimized, in my opinion. So use those and see how the file size comes out from there. But you always want to be exporting in the highest quality possible. And these days, I think no one should be uploading videos online that's less than 1080p. If you're uploading at 720p, it should be only because you have to. So your quality these days, and even with some people's bad internet connection, you should still be able to produce a high quality 1080p video. So that's what I would start with. But the setting to look for, if you need to tweak this, is called the bitrate. So it's the number of megabits per second. Without getting too technical here, we're taking 25 photos every second to make up our video. So it's the quality that's, or the compression that's applied to those. So the higher the number, the bigger the file size, the better the quality. The lower the number, the more compression is going to be applied. So if you need to tweak the preset, again, without going too technical, the bitrate is the setting that you'll want to adjust.
Excellent. Sonia's actually just asked in the Facebook group about using multiple cameras, which was something that I hadn't thought to ask you. But do you think that's going to add much to the video to have different cameras? Are there any other advantages of shooting from different angles, or does it all get too hard in the editing process?
Well, it definitely adds a step, or adds a couple of steps to your editing process, but it can also give you greater flexibility when you're editing. So for any, say, high-end videos that we will create, we will always use two cameras. And the beauty of that is you can cut people's sentences in half and switch to the other camera angle, and it will then still look seamless. So if they're, you know, having a really good run and they're halfway through a sentence and stop for some reason, you could switch camera and pick it up, you know, on the next take, and the viewer watching doesn't realize that that's happened. It still looks like a seamless take. In saying that, you're obviously going to need a second camera, second lot of battery, second lot of memory cards. Your storage is going to go up. So and then you've got to sync the two cameras together to make sure that they're perfectly lined up. So logistically, there's definitely a lot more involved. And for most people's content videos, I would say that is way too much overkill, unless you're going to be recording in your computer with, say, multiple webcams. That could be the easiest way to do it. So if you're going to use software like OBS or Wirecast for maybe a live stream or a screen recording, then that would be the easiest way to get going with multi-camera.
Second last question is around the most common mistakes that you see people making. I get the sense probably the biggest one is not making videos at all and letting the obstacles stop you making the videos. But any other mistakes that you think people really do need to just be aware of as they're creating those first videos?
I think the planning is really the key in getting really precise on who you want to be targeting or who you want to be talking to. The more specific you can be with your avatar or with your target market and knowing directly who you're talking to is really the key, especially if you're looking to do things like to grow an audience on YouTube or something like that, because you want to be talking directly to those people so that you're not talking to the masses. Like for example, our audience on YouTube, we don't ever tell them a free option unless it is the best option, because we don't want to be targeting people that are only there for the free answer. We essentially, that's our lead generator. So we want to be bringing in customers and clients through our YouTube channel. So we know exactly who our ideal customer is for our courses and products. And we target all of our video and all of our messaging to that. So that's probably the first point that a lot of people miss. They'll create videos for the masses and hope they rank. They're actually a lot harder to rank a video that is designed for everyone. Same with SEO in general. So you want to get specific on who you're talking to, but also around the content that you're delivering. If you can get it down to dot points and get a structure around it and follow that structure, then there's no thinking while you're creating the videos, and you know that you're going to hit every mark and create the content that you want.
Yeah, great advice. Last question, if you had a little bit more to spend on your setup, would you be looking at upgrading a camera, or do you think it's better to invest your money into something else in the process?
Ooh, okay. I guess it really depends what you've already got.
Yeah.
But I would recommend at this day and age is that if you're going to spend some money, get a camera that can shoot in 4K. So that's higher than 1080p. Because the advantage is, if you're going to release your videos in 4K, there is some advantage. YouTube has a 4K section and features 4K videos, as far as we know, higher. But also, if you're only going to be releasing your videos at a 1080p resolution and you're recording in the higher quality 4K, then you've got so much more flexibility in your editing. You essentially get a wide shot and a tight shot from the one piece of footage. So it definitely gives you more flexibility and more creative control in your editing, but also you can hit a different market or, you know, get more traction on your videos if you're going to release them at the highest quality. So a lot of people still think 4K is too far away and it's not worth doing yet. I beg to differ and say that if you can, and a lot of smartphones even these days will have the 4K option, you will need more storage because the files are going to be bigger. You will need a slightly more powerful computer because it's going to be more load on your computer. But if you can, and if it's feasible for you, then I would recommend shooting in 4K.
Great advice. Where can people learn more about what you do and your business and learn how to take their video shooting to the next level?
Okay, well, our website is primalvideo.com and our YouTube channel is youtube.com/primalvideo.
Excellent. We will link to that in the show notes today, as well as all of the other tools and apps and suggestions that you've made. Any last advice for the ProBlogger audience on video?
I think you can already guess what it's going to be. Start now. Use what you've got. Practice. Even if you don't release your first videos, it's always the case that everyone that we've helped has then always wished that they'd started earlier. So a lot of the barriers and things that we have, they're in our head. We've got the gear. If you've got a phone, you've got enough. If you've got a DSLR, even better. But don't wait for the technology. And yeah, just start now.
Great advice. And I'm actually going to issue a ProBlogger challenge to our audience, those of you listening now. I want you to go and shoot a video in the next week if you can. Don't delay. You could probably do it faster than that. And I want you to share it in our Facebook group. It's just a small group of 3,500 of your closest blogging friends who are going to see it. It's not going to go any further than that. And we'd love to see what you create there and give you some encouragement as well. And maybe we can give each other some suggestions on how we'd improve things as well. That'd be pretty cool. So if you're listening to this, head over to the ProBlogger Facebook group and share your videos there. That would be great. Thanks so much, Justin. I really do appreciate this. It was nice to meet you in San Diego, another Aussie in another part of the world.
There was a few of us there.
There was a lot of us there. It was great to – I actually heard a lot of really positive feedback about your session. So I knew you'd have a lot of value today for our audience. So I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, it was awesome to meet you too. And thank you for having me on the podcast.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
This is ProBlogger.
Wow, I just listened to that again and there is some really good information there. Thank you so much to Justin Brown. You can check out more from Justin over at primalvideo.com, where you'll also find links to his YouTube channel, which has some really good quality videos on how to create great video online. You can check out our show notes over at problogger.com/podcast/189, where we do have links to all of the tools and apps mentioned today. And also, please do head over to the ProBlogger Facebook group. I really loved doing that interview and seeing the questions come up as I was interviewing Justin from the group. And I would love to see the videos you create there. I will set up a thread. Once this podcast has gone live, there will be a thread over in that Facebook group for you to share the videos you create. And I might even invite Justin over to the group as well so he can see some of the things that he inspired today. Really look forward to looking at some of those videos that you create and connecting with you further in the Facebook group or on the show notes in the comments section. Thanks for listening today. Happy shooting with your videos, and I'll chat with you next week in episode 190 of the ProBlogger podcast.
You've been listening to ProBlogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
This episode of the ProBlogger podcast was edited by the team at Podcast Motor, who offer a great range of services, including helping you to set up and launch your podcast, as well as ongoing editing and production of the podcast that you produce. You can check them out at podcastmotor.com.